Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group call. As always, I feel just so much gratitude for the joining, for the connection, and for the time where, gosh, I feel like where we just are releasing our souls to just be happy and to go to the recognition and the place that they just naturally want to go. It's the stepping out of the way, and I feel like there's just such a power when we do this together. So let's begin our call with a brief period of meditation. So if you are able, allowing your eyes to close and turning your attention within. Whatever the mind is doing, if it's busy and full of chatter, just simply noticing that and reminding yourself, my real thoughts are in my mind. I would like to find them. My real thoughts are in my mind. I would like to find them. And just imagining that you're thinking, your awareness is just sort of dropping deep into your being. So we're dropping beneath all the surface level thoughts and mind chatter and the fog in the mind that obscures the blazing love just beneath that fog. We're going into the love to meet our real thoughts. The thoughts we thought in the beginning with God that are still in our mind. I'm just resting here for a few moments without any expectation, just simply having the willingness to rest, to just sink deep down into the mind and rest in the truth. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice mindful and deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Welcome to those of you who have just joined us. I'm so thrilled to be here. So let's shift our focus from deep within to the words on the page before us. Just a reminder, I'm reading from the Circle of Atonement edition. So if you have the CE, please go to page 880. It's the subheading, The Search for Completion. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, please go to chapter 30, part 3. In that edition, chapter 30, part 3, it's called Beyond All Idols. In the Sparkle edition, it's page 688. And in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 30, part 3. I don't think anybody's reading from that edition as far as I know on the call, but I want to include it anyway for those who listen to the recording. So as I mentioned before we started recording, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, you're going to have a much longer section than the way that it was edited in the Circle of Atonement edition, I have two shorter sections, whereas the FIP edition has one longer section. So we'll be stopping. I think we'll just read one section tonight to see how that goes. Over the past few weeks, we have read about the rules for decision. So when we get caught up in resistance surrounding asking for guidance, the course walks us through how we can work ourselves out of the resistance. And then last week we read about our boundless will and our will that we share with God, So in this section, we're going to again be returning to the topic of idols. We talked about this several weeks ago, and here we are again. Just a reminder that an idol is a substitute for God. It will actually give us a sentence, a definition in the reading. In the very back of the CE, the definition of an idol is a false god that we worship and look to for salvation in place of the true God and our own true divinity. So the term mainly refers to any external thing, activity, body, or right that we think will save us and make us complete. All right, here we go. Anybody need me to repeat the page references before we begin? I'm assuming we're good. All right, let's dive in. So we'll take it one paragraph at a time, as always. Idols are quite specific, but your will is universal, being limitless. And so it has no form, nor is content for its expression in the terms of form. I want to read that sentence again. I'll just start over. Idols are quite specific, but your will is universal, being limitless. And so it has no form, nor is content for its expression in the terms of form. Idols are limits. They are the belief that there are forms which will bring happiness and that by limiting is all attained. It is as if you said, I have no need of everything. This little thing I want, and it will be as everything to me. And this must fail to satisfy, because it is your will that everything be yours. Decide for idols, and you ask for loss. Decide for truth, and everything is yours. So this is a pretty powerful paragraph. I feel like it takes us from the very specific idols into our will being this broad, universal, limitless thing that's within every single one of us. So it's as if we have taken our will and shrunken it down to concrete, to the specifics, to the things of the world. And I love how it says that it's as if we said, we have no need of everything. You know, we have no need of heaven and the universal and the limitless. It's this little thing I want. It's this, you know, worldly thing that I want, and it will be as everything to me. And it says in this paragraph, that must fail to satisfy us, because it is your will that everything be yours. So deep down, so the ego's will is for, and again, I'm talking about the ego as if it's a thing. It's not a thing. It's just a belief. But this idea of ego is about a separate will, wanting things to be as it wants things to be. Our will, in actuality, our true will, is that everything be ours. It's that everything that is in the universe be ours, this limitlessness, this formlessness, this universality. Our will dwells at that level, but we've shrunken it down and are deciding for idols, and therefore, as it says, asking for loss. So instead, as we learn how to change our minds by listening to Holy Spirit, by listening to guidance, we start to learn how to decide for truth, and everything is ours. Our will, it's as if we reclaim the will that's within us already in terms of wanting everything, meaning, and when I say that, like what I take from that is like we want God. That's what we truly want. We want God. We want our true nature, and yet we are looking for all sorts of substitutes in place of that. I think that's all I have to say. Any comments or questions so far? Is anything coming up for anyone? I'll just emphasize one more time the very last sentence where it says, decide for truth and everything is yours. Keep in mind, there's that page 90 prayer. By the way, I don't know if Paul is on the line right now or not, but we were laughing on Facebook because we've referred to the page 90 prayer in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. On page 90, it's the prayer, I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. And the very last sentence is, I should just probably read the whole thing to stay in context, but I'll read the last two sentences. It says, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. So in other words, we choose to let the Holy Spirit undo the consequences of our wrong decisions by allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one to decide for God for us. So this last sentence in the paragraph we just read, decide for truth, we don't know how to decide for truth. We don't know how to do that of ourselves, but we can let the Holy Spirit choose for truth for us, just like that last sentence in that page 90 prayer. Indicates. And Paul and I were laughing. I feel like I didn't finish my thought because page 90 in the FIP edition is like split over two pages in the Circle of Atonement edition, and it's just not as easy to say. So it was like 200 something to 200, yeah, to the next page. So, okay, any other comments or questions about this first paragraph?
This is Jana. I have one. Something just keeps coming up to me, and I wasn't going to say anything, but it just is kind of relentless on what's coming up. The thing that caught me and it brought back a very early memory. Your will is universal, being limitless. I was thinking, like, what the limitless? I can't wrap my brain around limitlessness, being in this form. And then I had this memory of I must have been about 2.5 or 3, and my parents went to go visit some of their friends who owned a large amount of land and had a big pond in it. And I have an older brother who I think, from as the story goes, was challenging me if I could balance on the edge of the pond. And my parents were in the house visiting their friends. And of course, when I tried to balance on one leg on the pond, that didn't work out well for me. And I fell in and I sank. And what I remember, and I must have been there for I don't know how many minutes, because my brother had to run up to the house and get an adult, and they had to run down and rescue me. But the thing that struck me, and it's always been amazing to me, is I absolutely had no fear. I had no concept of death. And I think in one sense, I had an outer body experience where when I looked up into the water, I just saw shafts of light. And it was so peaceful and so fascinating, and I felt so loved and so protected. And as we're reading, limitless, the will is a universal being limitless. That picture that I kind of came to is, in the level of form, there probably was fear and panic, but on some other level, I don't remember any fear. I don't remember any law. I don't remember not being able to breathe. I don't remember any of that. It just felt so kind and such a safe and peaceful place. And that's the only memory I have of that. And I'm just thinking to myself that memory just keeps coming up as I'm reading this, that at some level I must have been in that space of universal being limitless.
And yes. That's just, I love that.
And just seeing the shafts of light, just that's what I remember. And I just think maybe it just kind of, as it kept coming up to me, that maybe that's really the truth, is just in some deep level remembering that I had nothing to do with form. It was mm-hmm. all just so limitless and without fear.
Thank you, Dana. That's powerful. And I am grateful for the example of trying to put into words like a possible a description of what could be limitless, because you said it perfectly. We can't wrap our brains around what the limitless is. We absolutely, there's just, our brains are, you know, a very concrete, three-dimensional, we understand, you know, left, right, up, down. We can't see outside of this world of form. So we can only begin to touch upon it through these experiences that we have. And just like you're describing, of seeing that light and just being in that peace, that helps to convey to the rest of us, you know, touching upon this limitlessness. So thank you for sharing that.
And it actually sounds somewhat familiar. I think on some level we all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing
mm-hmm.
I could really relate that to was an accident that I had in my car. And I was hit and the car spun around. And I felt totally safe, totally protected. It was like I was in a little cocoon.
Wow.
It was just the most amazing thing. Of course, the next day I, you know, it hit me. But in that situation, I just felt total protection.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was very nice, Jenna. Very nice.
Yeah, I agree, Jenna. And Paula, that was, both of those examples were really helpful.
Corinne, this isn't on the par with those two examples, but I do remember several years ago, oh my gosh, oh, probably 30 years ago, it was an unprompted memory that I was getting into the car after going to the grocery store, and it was just out of the blue, I had this memory. I said to myself, I remember being able to go anywhere I want in the universe. It was just like, I remember that. And I said, it was so much fun. And I just chuckled to myself that I, it was just out of the blue, like all of a sudden you remember something, and I've never forgotten that just instant recollection of something that I never remember experiencing, but it came into my mind.
Wow.
Just to go.
Oh, dude, that's beautiful.
Isn't that
so helpful.
Something? No.
Yeah, that's really something. And, you know, you're reminding me now just of some thoughts that I've had recently about the limits of being in a body with, I've been frustrated with, like, let's say this is a very simple example. Like, I have a long day and a lot of things happen and I want to tell my husband everything. I have to go through time and word by word describe what happened versus just like, boom, letting him know it all at once, like an instant sort of transmission. And I've been feeling, and even with like knowing other things, you know, we're in perception, which is in the space-time continuum, and it has its limits. When we are in heaven, in knowledge,
it's instant.
All thoughts, it says all thoughts are shared by all sons of God. So there isn't that need to explain in words and take time to convey something, it's like instant downloads. It's like you just know. So I'm really grateful that you all have been willing to share these specific examples, because it gives something concrete to what we're reading tonight, which is a little bit more of an abstract section here. So this touching upon experiences of limitlessness give us something to hold on to. So thank you for that. That was awesome. Let's read paragraph number 2. It is not form you seek. What form can be a substitute for God the Father's love? What form can take the place of all the love in the divinity of God the Son? What idol can make two of what is one? And that's empathized. Let me read that again. What idol can make two of what is one? And can the limitless be limited? You do not want an idol. It is not your will to have one. It will not bestow on you the gift you seek. When you decide upon the form of what you want, you lose an understanding of its purpose. So you see your will within the idol, thus reducing it to a specific form. But this could never be your will, because what shares in all creation cannot be content with small ideas and little things. This last sentence sums everything up to me. We will never be content with small ideas and little things of the world. There is nothing in this world that will ever satisfy us. What we are seeking for is the capital E, everything in God, which is love. That's what we are seeking. But we reduce by using the small self sense of will, we throw away that everything to seek for the little, and to think that we're going to find that happiness, that peace, that salvation in the world somehow. And it's just not here. It's just not here. It's through love here that we awaken to it, however. So it's not like, oh, I can just throw away the whole world. The whole world isn't real. The world is here for us to learn of our true will through being a miracle worker, through expressions of love, through performing miracles. That's how we wake up to all these experiences that you all just outlined when we were talking after paragraph number 1. So it's like we have experience by experience. We learn about these experiences by listening to other people, and it starts to build our new foundation of trust in spirit, and a recognition that what we are seeking for is not here, and that it is God. That is what will make us happy. Any comments about this paragraph? You know, I wonder, too, if we can just think for a moment. And you know what, buddy? I would like, at the end of the call, I'm not going to do this now. There's an exercise at the very end of Robert Perry's commentary for this section, and it's about basically acknowledging an idol that we have, something that we want that we think will bring us happiness, and it's super, super short, so we're going to do that at the end. So if you can think of an idol, of something that you want more than God, that you, and radical honesty here and no guilt in being honest, if you can think of a specific idol, we're gonna do a little exercise with it later. Let's read paragraph number 3. Behind the search for every idol lies the yearning for completion. I want to read that one more time. Behind the search for every idol lies the yearning for completion. Wholeness has no form because it is unlimited. To seek a special person or a thing to add to you to make yourself complete can only mean that you believe some form is missing. And by finding this, you will achieve completion in a form you like. This is the purpose of an idol, that you will not look beyond it to the source of your belief that you are incomplete. Only if you have sinned could this be so. For sin is the idea you are alone and separated off from what is whole. And thus, it would be necessary for the search for wholeness to be made beyond the boundaries of limits on yourself. So there's a few sentences in this paragraph that I feel moved to highlight. I'm wondering if we can all, if we were able to just think of something that we want to pursue in the world, some achievement we want. And I want to acknowledge that in everything we think that will make us happy, remember, Holy Spirit has a different purpose for it. And it's very possible that you've already tapped into willingness to see a different purpose in whatever it is that we want. So it's not to say that you shouldn't have goals or that you shouldn't have things that you're going for, because everything that we feel moved to do is part of our curriculum. It's part of our learning process, and we need to repurpose it by handing it over to Spirit. But to have, you know, goals or things that we are trying to achieve, I don't want to sound like that's, you know, a bad thing. It's the repurposing that's important. But I'm wondering if right now, if you can think of something that you're wanting, an idol, something outside of yourself that you're wanting to achieve, I'm wondering if you can sense just beneath that the yearning for completion. So in wanting something, is there something in you beneath the surface that's like, oh, you know, that's yearning for that completion, that's yearning for wholeness? So that's, I know I can access that, and that's just where we're misguided if we're listening to the ego. I know we all know enough, you know, at this point that we know we're not going to find happiness in those outside things. But I think getting really radically honest about that yearning for completion just beneath the surface, you know, that can be great to expose that and bring that to Spirit. So the other sentence that I want to highlight, I think it's the third sentence, to seek a special person or a thing to add to you to make yourself complete can only mean that you believe some form is missing. So in other words, when we are seeking outside of ourselves, we are affirming that we are lacking. We are in that desire, in that quest for something outside of ourselves. Inherent in that is an affirmation that we must be lacking. And, it, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And I'm not sure if anybody remembers this because this is several weeks ago now, but we read a section in the course where it talked about how lack is death. That, like, basically by affirming that there's lack in us, we're calling forth death. And yuck, obviously we don't want to do that. And so it's really important, again, that we get radically honest about this, that if we are seeking something outside of ourselves because we feel like it's going to complete us, inherent is that in that is an affirmation that we're not whole, and that affirmation that we're not whole is calling about death, is calling about, you know, an affirmation of the ego. So I find that very striking and very motivating to not want to do that anymore, because of course I don't want to call forth death. I want to be manifesting life and love. I have something else I want to highlight, but before I do that, any comments or questions so far?
I have a question, and it's almost self-answering, mm-hmm. but what keeps coming up for me in reading this is one of the idols that I'm really struggling with, and it keeps coming up in various forms, is that if this person or this situation were different, I would be happy.
Yes,
and
that's such a common one.
And it's kind of, I'd never thought about it that from that perspective, that idle part is looking for completion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I on the right track with that?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That's a great way of applying this. Like if we feel more tuned into that. That, and I'm sure we can all think of situations that if they were different, then I'd be happy, then I'd be okay, then I'd be complete. That's absolutely within that. We are inherently affirming that we are not complete now, that we're not happy now, and that that's, you know, calling forth the same ego ick. So that's really helpful, Jana, because I think that that's very relatable. Very, very relatable. So instead, what can we do? But we can affirm the truth. We can affirm the fact that we have never left our source. We can go right there. Thank you for that, Jana. Is that Sue?
Yes. It's just the more and more I think about this and realize when we talk about ego, it's really just our minds. Ego is our mind. Our mind that is not disciplined, our mind that, and like in Jenna's example there, what the mind wants, the mind is never satisfied.
The lowercase M mind, yeah.
Yes, a lowercase mind is never satisfied. The part that you think that we associate ourselves with, that
yeah.
we are this lowercase mind that's, you know, had this hard life and is separated from its higher self and needs to control. It either needs to control. It needs to either control situations to make so-called me happy and complete,
mm-hmm.
or it needs approval from other people to feel happy or complete, that
mm-hmm.
everything's okay. But if you can just, that's why the stillness, the absolute stillness is you finally come out of the clenches of the mind, which is ego. The clenches
mm-hmm.
of the mind is ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, I don't know why I felt like I want, but that's what has been coming up more and more for me is like, okay, what is it that I really want in this situation? Do I really want this situation to change? Do I really want the situation? No, I want to control over it. This
mm-hmm.
mind wants to control it. So if I can get out of that sense of control, that wanting control, then the whole situation kind of evens out for me. Oh, I don't
mm-hmm.
have control. The mind does
mm-hmm.
not. The mind cannot affect anything. Just wanting it
right.
makes it worse. So if I can let go of that sense of wanting approval from other people or control over people or control over other situations, I can, you know, come back to peace.
Right, right. I am so glad that you said, just talking about the clenches of the mind, the desire to control, the approval, all that lowercase m mind stuff, yes, it's of ego. And this is where that, I mentioned this teaching in our opening meditation. I've been so relating to the teaching in the course where it says, my real thoughts are in my mind. I would like to find them. So when we initially close our eyes and there's all that chatter there, that's the lowercase m mind having the purpose of creating a smokescreen, of creating, you know, a distraction so we won't go deeper, because what is that lowercase m mind, all those, you know, monkey mind thoughts are just covering up. They're trying to distract us from the truth. They're trying to distract us from the truth. So that when you said the lowercase m mind can't affect anything, what I hear in that is that lowercase m mind can't affect the truth. It can't change the fact that the capital M mind is still who we are, and it's fog. It is just fog. And there's a beautiful part too in the course where it says, where Jesus says, if you can imagine me holding your hand, like going through the fog together, I
mm-hmm.
assure you that is no idle fantasy. And that gives me little goosebumps, because whenever we are trying to meditate or trying to touch the stillness or are doing this work, if we imagine that Jesus is holding our hand, he's really right there holding our hand. It's no idle fantasy, as the Course says. And when we have such a guide, a mighty, you know, companion with us, of course our success is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that, Sue.
Yeah. I wanted to add, can't exactly quote, but I want to look at this differently, or I want to think differently.
Are you talking about the prayer that I mentioned?
I'm actually talking about the incident where we're wanting this idol. If we believe that we're limitless, it's all about thinking differently, looking at it different.
Well, isn't that where the Holy Spirit comes in?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because that's really the whole point of when we're in that lower mind thinking. It's
mm-hmm.
very hard to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where the Holy Spirit comes in. It's
mm-hmm.
because we really can't get out of it. But
right.
he can get us out of it and undo all the consequences of it if we're willing to allow him to do that. And sometimes it just depends on how deep you're in a funk. Sometimes it's really difficult to hand it all over to the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit. I've been kind of working with that the last few days. And
mm-hmm.
but it always works when I've had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. if you can get to the stillness.
Well, the stillness, it's lovely. The stillness is where the Holy Spirit is. He gets us to the stillness. We can't
mm.
get to the stillness without that help. This world is such a distraction.
Oh, gosh. Amy Torres calls it a weapon. The ego is a weapon of mass distraction. And I just love that.
It is.
But, Christine, I know you have more to share. Please share.
No, I just... she's right. When you get in the funk, it's really hard to get out of
mm-hmm.
it. And
mm-hmm.
it, yeah, you need the Holy Spirit.
We sure do.
If I can just add one thing here that I think is so important and vital, at least it's been for me,
mm-hmm.
is willingness. Because there's been so many times when I'm in such resistance. And all I can do is go, I'm willing to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in my willingness yet, but I'm willing to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Corinne, it's so funny that you said about the hand. I think in pictures a lot of times I get impressions with pictures. And a lot of times when I'm in my deepest resistance, and resistance is a big issue for me a lot of times, is, that I'll just say that prayer. I am willing to be willing. And I think of this, I think of Jesus' hand coming out in love and support and saying, take my hand. I will lead you. Just take my hand. And I actually, I feel that hand. It's an image in my mind of his loving hand. And all I have to do is put my hand in his. I don't have to know the way. I don't have to know how to do it. I don't even have to know how to be willing. I just have to be willing to be willing. And that image of me, and it happens so often, is as soon as I reach my hand out to put my hand in his, the willingness comes and the resistance dissipates.
Oh, Jana, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. And I can't find it at the moment. I thought I had it printed out. I have so many quotes on my bulletin board in my office that it's getting a bit unruly, but you've reminded me, Jana, about just the willingness. There is a little blurb from St. Therese of Lisieux. She was a very, very young nun. I think I don't remember how young, but very young. And she died at a very young age. And she has this beautiful description of kind of like what you just described, but she describes like throwing herself into the arms of God, burying her head in his hair, and extending her arm outward, like to do whatever it is that she's being asked to do, but relying completely on God, like keeping herself just buried in God, because I think the little passage starts out saying, you know, a task that she is being asked to do just seems so much greater than what she's capable of. So she just imagines burying her head in God's hair and having her arm extended out backwards to do whatever it is, you know, to let God work through her. So I just always thought that was so beautiful. And your description, Dana, of holding Jesus' hand just made me think of that. So thank you. Oh, wow. Let's read another paragraph. The only other sentence in this current paragraph that I wanted to highlight, I actually already touched on this, where it just says, "This is the purpose of an idol, that you will not look beyond it to the source of your belief that you are incomplete." So it is, like we talked about, the fog, the mind chatter, all of those distracting thoughts, whatever idol it is that we're looking to complete us out there in the world, the purpose of that idol, when used by the ego, is so we won't look past it to the true belief underneath that we are incomplete, which we are not. And that is the work that we're doing here, is looking at that underlying belief and then taking that to spirit, because we are complete. As we just said before, the Course is saying that lack is death, and if we are subtly affirming that we believe that we are lacking, then yuck, we're calling about death. So glad we can shift that. Let's read the next paragraph. It says, "It is never the idol that you want, but what you think it offers you, you want indeed, and have the right to ask for." I want to come back to that sentence. "Nor could it be possible it be denied. Your will to be complete is but God's will, and this is given you by being his." I'm going to read that sentence one more time. "Your will to be complete is but God's will, and this is given you by being his. God knows not form. He cannot answer you in terms which have no meaning. And your will could not be satisfied by empty forms made but to fill a gap which is not there. It is not this you want. Creation gives no separate person and no separate thing the power to complete the Son of God. What idol can be called upon to give the Son of God what he already has?" So in this paragraph, we start out, it says, "It is never the idol that you want, but what you think it offers you." What do we think that it offers us but completion? So we want the completion, but we're looking in the wrong place. We want the completion. It says in the second sentence, "You have the right to ask for it." That's so interesting. We have the right to ask for completion, which I think is really cool. There is something to this effect in the exercise that we're going to do. Yes, I just wanted to double check that because that was my memory. So asking for our completion is going to be part of this exercise that we'll do in just a few minutes. So I just think that's a very interesting sentence to say that it's not the idol, it's not the form, it's what we think it offers us. And that's that completion that we're seeking, which we actually have the right to ask for, to be aware of our completion. Of course, we are complete already. We're not aware of it, and we have the right to ask to be shown our completion. It's also interesting how it says, oh, do I hear somebody?
Yeah, that was me. I was just getting ready to say something, but I muted, unmuted too fast.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't know that this has anything to do with it. You know, my idol is I want to be right. I'm so attached to being right about how I see things, how I see me, how I see somebody else, what they did, what they didn't do. Boy, that gets me into so much distress. Mm. I find myself today, I'm going to see if I can make this really quick because I don't want to be doing that long extended share and taking up the time. I find myself today as an exercise just trying to give up judgment. And it's really hard because I'm judging that I'm seeing a pond. I'm judging that I'm seeing a park. I'm judging that I'm seeing a little baby and a cute little baby and a stroller. And I'm judging, you know, what my hair looks like with these, you know, and I'm like, that's really hard. I'm sure one day it could be done. I just don't know how to live my life without judging, and I'm willing to be shown. Mm-hmm. So my opinion, my judging, those seem to be my idol because when I see it and it feels like it's right, I'm holding on like really, really tightly to an opinion or a thought and a judgment. And it makes me wrong. It makes me, there's no peace. And I know I'm not seeing right. About 10 years ago, I had left a corporate employment experience. I was downsized, and in that I had worked a long time with this one particular coworker. And this is certainly before Course in Miracles and before some other healing work that I did. Anyway, she and I had a nice relationship, although I would notice that there might be times that she would say things or do things that seemed kind of, I don't know, aggressive, and it used to turn me off. And so the last couple years of us working together, we were coworkers. She became the leader in our group, and I just watched some of the things she did, and I just had some feelings about it. So when we had the downsizing, and the company was we were leaving that last day, she went to give me a hug, and I refused to hug her. And she said, why? And I said, well, I don't want to. And that was it. Like, I didn't say anything else like that was disrespectful, et cetera. Well, anyway, so now 10 years went by. Now here we are up to today. So after the healing work and the Course in Miracles work, I'm realizing that that was just how my ego was setting up everything, the guilt, the fear and the judgment about her. And I wanted to really feel free of that. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't use that on top of other stuff as an idol to make myself feel bad about until I die, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten to a place where I felt better. I was able to see my huge part in the whole thing and the co-creation, that sort of thing. So I reached out to her on social media and about a month ago. And was just in the name of love and forgiveness and just extending an apology for my behavior. And her response was sort of like, well, you know, I really have too much dignity to engage with that behavior that you showed. And, you know, you need to forgive yourself. And I thought, wow, that sounds like the same person that used to bother me back in the day when we worked together. And she said, and I prefer not to reconnect with you. I'm like, okay. And when I read it, I thought, well, I just need to clarify that I really appreciated you and, you know, your beautiful, creative, and gifted self, and that we were, you know, we had a lot of fun, and I just wanted to say thank you for everything. And I said I did forgive myself, you know, and if I had more a sense of maturity back then, 10 years ago, that I have now, I would have chosen different actions. But I also said that I certainly can take responsibility for my error. And that was it. So her response was something to the effect of, well, You know, I did wish her well for her future, and I said, I'm going to respect your desire not to reconnect. But I just wanted to let you know how much, mm-hmm. you know, what a positive impact that she had on overall. So the course says, you know, look at all the positive and overlook the things that may not be so positive. So that's what mm-hmm. I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to be able to say that and not be stuck in my ego about what I saw her and just stand on being right and then live with that. And so she did respond, you know, I wish you the best. And yes, Carla, we did have a lot of laughs back in the day. And she put a smiley face and I put, you know, two hearts because I still love her. But I wanted to just be grateful that I reached out to try to correct an error mm-hmm. that I felt was time to do, to be able to experience more harmony in my life mm-hmm. and love myself too. That was an exercise. That was an experiment for me to be able to see an error and having seen the other side and what that was all about and all the stuff that the course tells us this stuff like that is about, and reaching out to somebody who it sounds like is not on the same path that I'm on, because her response would have been totally different. If it, I'm sure it would be. I'm sure it would be. So, and it made me grateful that we aren't going to move forward as friends or reconnect, because I probably wouldn't want to have those same experiences with someone who doesn't seem like they're doing the same work, because her response wasn't such that, well, you know, we all make mistakes and I understand and blah. It wasn't like that. You know, it still came across to me feeling kind of aggressive and angry. So whether she... No, so that's pretty much it. So I'm just saying that, wrapping that all up, I'm grateful that me being right, I'm letting that go as my idol. It's hard, but that was a practice for me.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like it was. Thank you so much for sharing, Carla. You know, I'll just respond to one thing, and then we'll read the last paragraph. But when you said, you know, that your thing is about holding really tightly, you use the words holding really tightly, like to judgment, to being right. Yeah. And there's a line in the course, it said, again, it's not like, and you talked about wanting to not judge. The course says, it's not that you're going to stop having those judgmental thoughts. It's not that you're going to stop having impure, you know, thoughts. It's that you have none that you would keep. So accepting the fact that, you know, we're going to be judging because we're very strongly identified with ego, but that's that we have none that we would keep. Everything gets turned over to Holy Spirit. We don't keep any of it for ourselves. So that's the opposite of what you said about holding on really tightly, you know, learning, just like you said, to kind of open up and with your example, you know, doing what you feel you need to do, whether it's making amends or whatever. So thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Corinne, it makes me think of a quote from the New Testament where Jesus says, be passerby. Don't just kind of let it all float in front of you. Just be passerby.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's read the last paragraph. Hi. I'm sorry, Audrey?
Yeah, it's Audrey.
Hi there.
Hi. I just want to be honest and share that I'm feeling judgment. I just feel when somebody starts sharing and they say they don't want to take up a lot of time, to be impeccable with your word, because to me it was a long share, and that's how I feel. So I'm going to try to release the judgment, give it to Holy Spirit, but I was getting pretty annoyed. Thank you.
Thank you for turning that over to Holy Spirit, Audrey. I do want to keep this call safe for everybody, and so I appreciate your share. I appreciate Carla's share, and let's all, whatever is coming up for any of us right now, please, please do turn it over to Holy Spirit, because it is my intention to keep this a safe space for everybody. We're going to read the last paragraph, and that is, completion is the function of God's Son. He has no need to seek for it at all. Beyond all idols stands his holy will to be but what he is, for more than whole is meaningless. If there were taint in him, if he could be reduced to any form and limited to what is not in him, he would not be as God created him. What idol can he need to be himself? For can he give a part of him away? What is not whole cannot make whole. But what is really asked for cannot be denied. Your will is granted, not in any form that would content you not, but in the whole, completely lovely thought God holds of you. So in this paragraph, completion is our function. We are here to heal. We don't need to seek for it at all because it's something within us already. Beyond all the idols that we are holding on to stands his holy will to be but what he is, for more than whole is meaningless. So we are already whole, and if we are seeking to add to that wholeness, that's meaningless. That makes no sense. So if there were change in him, if it could be reduced to any form and limited to what is not in him, he could not be as God created him. I'm going to fast forward to the end of this paragraph. Your will is granted, not in any form that would content you not, but in the whole, completely lovely thought God holds of you. And that's beautiful. I love that last sentence, the completely lovely thought that God holds of you. Now, I do want to bring our attention to the exercise at the This is the commentary that Robert Perry wrote for this section. And we're going to walk through this real quick. Bring to mind an idol. So I'm reading this now. So please do this as we go along. Bring to mind an idol, some form that you think will bring you happiness. Now say the following. So you can repeat these words to yourself as I'm reading them. I do not really want this idol. I want the completion I think it offers me. And I have the right to ask God for completion. God, I ask for my completion now. I know this request cannot be denied, for my completion is your will and mine. And therefore, I am already complete. So I just thought that was a beautiful little exercise at the end of that commentary that kind of ties up what we just read. All right. Thank you.
Where did
everybody.
You find that?
So
thank
that's
you.
In the Course Companion's commentary for this section in the text. So it's an email
good.
That I got from a member of Course Companion. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I feel moved to stay on the line if anybody needs to process anything in order to keep this a safe space. So I'm going to hit stop record in just a moment, but I just want to thank everybody and have a wonderful week, everyone. I love you all.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Too. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. Love you,
thank
everyone.
Thank you. Yes. Love you.